The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the Mystic cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This is part two of a three-part series. Part two, we are taking a look at the rest of the level zero cards. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are kicking off part two of a review of the Mystic cards with Arcane Initiate. It's a one-cost asset with a willpower skill icon, the ally and sorcerer trait. It has a forced effect. After Arcane Initiate enters play, place one Doom on it. As a free triggered ability, you can exhaust Arcane Initiate, search the top three cards of your deck for a spell card, and draw it. Shuffle your deck. It has one health and two sanity and takes up an ally slot. Arcane Initiate is one of my favorite allies in the game as someone who plays a lot of Mystic. Extremely valuable for finding those spells, and she only gets better as your card pool expands and you have a lot more spells to choose from. Of course, there is that proviso that you have to add a Doom in play, but once you gain a little bit more experience, that becomes a lot less scary.
Sometimes you can even conveniently time the Arcane Initiate so that the agenda was going to advance the turn you played it anyway, so that downside often can be negligible at best. Man, yeah. Arcane Initiate is so strong, though.
Oh, yeah. For reaction draw, so good.
One resource, you get 3 points of soak and recurrable tutoring effects. Like, it's really so good. And like you said, Man from Lang, this card gets better as you expand your card pool just because there's just more spells you can grab. And having more spells is better for a card like this because you just want to saturate your deck with a certain number of spells, probably around 10 or so. So that, you know, one in three cards is around a spell. Similar to how we were saying Beat Cop sort of adds this 4 XP tax to Guardians. I think Arcane Initiate could be arguably a 3 XP tax if you want to include Charisma. Arcane Initiate is really strong. And if you want to include another ally, I think you have to have a really good reason to play another ally over this.
Yeah, Filter Draw is very, very strong in this game because it means that you can dig for the assets you want or spell events that you want without smashing into your weakness. And Arcane Initiate lets you do that. It's very cheap. Now, the tricky part is the Doom, but as you gain some experience, experience with playing the game, is you'll start to learn the flow of the game and when is safe to play Arcane Initiate and when's not. You'll also learn things like, if I play this thing on the first round of the game and I have a 6 Doom agenda, I'm pretty sure that she'll get taken out to a Rotting Remains or my own Shrivelings by then. So you start learning how to ebb and flow and how to make use of her and how to get rid of the Arcane Initiate and her Doom when it becomes important.
The other thing that's nice about it too is that it's a fast action so that you can dig for it if there's an enemy engaged with you without having to take an attack of opportunity. So you can find a copy of Blinding Light or Spectral Razor or something like that, and then kill or evade that enemy and just go about your business, which is a really awesome ability to have on an ally like this.
Yeah, the ability to filter your deck for those spells is fantastic, and I don't know how many times I have used Arcane Initiate to search my deck and then found my weakness in the top three cards as well as a spell, grab the spell and get to reshuffle my weakness, potentially putting it closer to the bottom of my deck. That's a pretty good feeling when that happens. The Doom is annoying it because it does speed up the game, but with only one health, she's pretty easy to kill a lot of the time. It's as simple as taking an attack of opportunity and she dies, and that Doom goes away, and you buy yourself another turn, hopefully after she has done her work. But even if you have to advance the agenda, if this causes the agenda to advance, typically advancing the first agenda of the game isn't that fatal. So if you can get her down early, the agenda will advance a little bit faster, but then you've got this card that's just giving you a spell every turn if you have enough spells in your deck. The number of cards that you can draw off her is crazy. And as Nate said, it's a free triggered ability. So if you are engaged with an enemy, you can do this for a spell that might actually help you defeat the enemy. Now, in the revised core set, Shriveling, you're still going to have to play it. But as your card pool expands, you'll encounter cards like Spectral Razor, which is an event that can kill pretty much any enemy in the game, and being able to draw that with the Arcane Initiate and then kill that enemy is a pretty nice play. How would you rate this one?
Oh, this is an easy Elder Sign for me. One point I'll make about the spell trait on this card too is specifically in the core set, Agnes can actually use this to control when she draws her weakness so that she can get rid of it without much consequence, which can actually be really huge in Agnes.
Getting over that hump is tough.
Yeah, if you watched our review, we do not like Agnes's weakness very much.
Her weakness is so bad. It's so rough.
It's brutal. Oh, man. So, yeah, being able to control when you draw that with Arcane Initiate is also probably worth that Doom.
That being said, you are going to find a time you're going to be digging for your Shriveling, but the only spell in your top three is going to be Dark Memory, and you're going to kick yourself. That is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'd actually give this one a plus one. This is a very strong card, I have to say. But it is also, I think it's properly balanced to the point where it's not, I don't feel like it's overwhelmingly the greatest thing in the world. The fact that you added Doom, which means you do have to play around with when you put it out there. And the fact that if your Mystic deck is not super duper heavy on spells, you can run into a point where you kind of run out of spells to find. At which point, drawing the Arcane Initiate later in the game becomes like, oh, why did I draw this? I've already found everything I need. It's great. It is a great card, just at certain points of the game and not at other points.
I think this card is an Elder Sign for me outside of the revised core. I just don't think there are enough spells in the revised core set to really get as much value out of Arcane Initiate. So I would put her at a plus one in the revised core and an Elder Sign outside of it. She is a big favorite of mine and does a ton of work in my Mystic decks, but I just don't think there are enough spells in the revised core box to really leverage her as much as you would like. If you do like the Arcane Initiate, there is a level 3 upgrade for the Arcane Initiate in the Black Stars Rise Mythos pack, which does give you the option of dumping a bit of horror on her in order to not place the Doom. I don't think I have ever upgraded to that card, though. Spending 3 experience points for that effect hasn't really intrigued me that much.
Yeah, that is a tall order for the Mystic, because you do want to spend a lot of your... When you can afford 3 XP for a card, you probably want to be upgrading one of your spells. So it is kind of a tall order. That being said, like, it's a nice treat, a nice cherry on top of your deck if you can afford it, because it gives you the option of avoiding Doom entirely or taking the Doom because you figured out, you know, you're at a good point in the game where Doom is okay, and getting a 0-cost 3 Horror Soak ally. That's pretty good, too.
The next card we are going to take a look at is Drawn to the Flame. It is a free event that has a willpower and intellect skill icon, the Insight trait. Draw the top card of the encounter deck, then discover 2 clues at your location. I think this is pretty much an auto-include in every Mystic deck. Discovering 2 clues at a location for the cost of an encounter card that your willpower will probably see you through if it's a willpower skill test. That's a trade that I'm willing to make most of the time. And even if you happen to draw an enemy, if you play this toward the end of the game, that enemy will be inconsequential.
Yeah, there have been a few situations where I've played this and it's kind of bitten me in the butt, but you know, those are pretty few and far between most of the time. In solo, this card is particularly nice because you can save it for either high shroud locations or those couple locations per scenario that have two clues on them and are usually worth victory points. So often this card also has victory one on the bottom right as well attached to it, which is really nice. And for the cost of an encounter card, yeah, totally worth it. I've also heard that there's a podcast named this card as well, so that's also.
Yeah, I heard they love this card so much. Like, they just decided to have all their decks include two of it, and then they figured out a way to, like, bring it back to their hands and play it again. Mm-hmm. And they did this so much that they decided to make a whole podcast about using Drawn to the Flame over and over.
So once you gain a little bit more experience points, once you gain a little bit more experience with the game, you should definitely check out the podcast by the same name, and they'll provide you with even more tips about how to excel at the Arkham Horror LCG.
And this card also has some great flavor text to it. I've always loved the opening line of Call of Cthulhu, so it's nice to see this on a great card that you're going to play a bunch of.
Yeah, the art's great too. You know, just put this card in your deck for the art alone. Mm-hmm. That way, if you have nothing to do on your turn, on someone else's turn, you can just look at the art, and you can, your life is better off.
Yeah, and Mystics also have a Ward of Protection, which they can use if necessary to, if they happen to draw a treachery that they cannot deal with, then they can play Ward of Protection afterwards to cancel it, which helps. How would you rate this one?
In the core set? Man, this is an instant Elder Sign for Agnes. It's definitely not a Daisy card. Daisy has 5 intellect. You're just gonna investigate. No problem. So definitely a very good Agnes card, without question.
Yeah, if intellect is not your strong suit, this is always a good thing to take. I rate it as a +1 myself because I don't think it belongs in every deck that can take it. Daisy is, but one example. And also, you can screw yourself when you play this thing, by drawing a really nasty encounter card. And also another thing to note is that in 3-4 player, let's say you have a 4-shroud location with 4 clues on it, Drawn to the Flame, as great as it is, it doesn't completely solve the location, and then that encounter card might be particularly nasty. So it's a bit more nuanced in like a 3-4 player game, but in 1-2, especially 2-player, I think this card is very, very good.
Yeah, I'm wavering between an Elder Sign and a +1. I think in the revised core, it's probably an Elder Sign, just because the ability to grab those two clues without having to investigate, especially for a low intellect investigator like Agnes, is pretty valuable, especially at lower player counts where you're probably going to clear that location. And if you save this for the right time, this can really bail you out of a lot of problems. It's nice to get toward the end of a scenario and just be able to drop this down and grab whatever clues you need in order to complete it. Outside of that, I still play Drawn to the Flame a lot in a lot of Mystic decks because of that ability to discover two clues. But again, I primarily play solo where that sort of card is a lot more valuable. If you're playing in higher player counts, you're not going to get as much value out of this. And it is, occasionally you will draw an encounter card that is going to mess you up. And if you happen to, I think probably the worst is drawing an enemy that you're not ready to deal with. So you do need to be a little bit cautious as to when you play this thing. You don't want to just drop it down and hope for the best sometimes, especially if you're not prepared to deal with an enemy. I guess this is the card is why Scrying was created. So you can probably play Scrying, look at the top 3 cards of the encounter deck, rearrange them as you wish, and then play Drawn to the Flame so you can draw a card that you know you can deal with. But yeah, that's not a combination that you should probably be pursuing all that often. I don't think Scrying makes I don't think the ability to do that makes scrying any more valuable. It's just a combination that you can play. But yeah, I've got good memories of this card.
Yeah, it's the thing about scrying is that the actions you spend setting up your scrying, it's going to erase any gains you get for using Drawn to the Flame. Yeah.
Plus, in multiplayer, you probably have a teammate that can just take care of the enemy or treachery that you draw anyway. So,
yeah.
The next card in the box is one of the iconic Mystic cards in the card pool. This is Ward of Protection, one cost event with a wild skill icon, spell and spirit trait. Fast, play when you draw a non-weakness treachery card, cancel that card's revelation effect, then take one horror. There are two upgrades for this. The level 2 upgrade from Black Star's Rise lets you cancel treachery cards drawn by other investigators, which can be huge. And the level 5 upgrade from the Lost in Time and Space pack allows you to cancel any treachery card that you draw. I think probably the only knock against that I can think about against this card is that sometimes picking the right treachery to cancel can be a tough decision.
Yeah,
this definitely has that too awesome to use syndrome, where you want to use it, but then sometimes you sort of hesitate, like, well, maybe I can deal with this, and then the pull from the chaos bag goes wrong, and you're like, I should have used this, and then kind of hold on to it for too long, and then you never draw another treachery that you can actually use this on.
Yeah,
but once you kind of learn the ins and outs of the game, you know what treacheries you need to be warding, and this card just is so invaluable for that reason.
What's even worse, Nate, is when you know which treacheries you want to cancel, but then the other people at the table are the ones who end up drawing them, and then you go, oh, I was ready for that if only it came to me. But that's why you have the level 2 version to cover your friend. This card's so strong. I mean, just any treachery you have trouble dealing with, just get rid of it and take a horror instead.
Yeah, and for Agnes, of course, this does trigger her response again, so you can you get a little bit more value out of this than some other investigators, and you can deal the damage if you've got the sanity to spare. Otherwise, this usually makes a good target for your Holy Rosaries and Arcane Initiates to soak that horror for you if you're not able to trigger Agnes's ability. Yeah, there's a lot. As the card pool expands, there are an awful lot of treacheries that you want to cancel, and this thing can really can win you a game, basically. If you draw the wrong treachery at the wrong time, especially in some of the more advanced scenarios, they can just wreck you, and this thing stops that dead in its tracks.
Yeah, you were mentioning the card pool expanding. One thing I would like to note is that there is, even in the entire card pool, there is not a lot of treachery cancellation out there.
Mm-mm.
So like your card pool will expand, but you're still going to want to lean on this because there's not a lot of, they've added some, especially in the most recent cycles, but a lot of it doesn't work as well as Ward of Protection because of how easy Ward of Protection makes it to just click and cancel.
Yeah, Ward of Protection is definitely the premium, is about as good as it gets in terms of treachery cancellation. There are the Seekers receive Forewarned, I believe that's in Echoes of the Past, but they have to drop a clue in order to do it, which isn't ideal sometimes. And survivors receive a couple of flavors of a test of will, which can also cancel cards, but it's not nearly as flexible as this one is. And there is a cost on some of the lower level versions where you have to actually, not only in order to cancel the card, you need to make a willpower skill test, which depending on which survivor you're playing is going to be, you're going to have to commit cards and resources to passing that test. So you're actually spending quite a bit just to cancel a treachery. What is your, what's your favorite treachery to cancel with this card?
Depends on player count and scenario, really.
Yeah.
You know, cause like Ancient Evils is much worse in multiplayer than it is in solo. So like And Ancient Evils is almost like a free draw from the encounter deck in solo a lot of the time. Yeah, it's complicated. I think among my favorites from the core set, Hunting Shadow is one, because you just can't deal with that card otherwise. Definitely Ancient Evils in the last scenario, and I guess Cryptchill. Cryptchill can be pretty nasty.
Yeah, Cryptchill can be really nasty. If you're Daisy, Grasping Hands is really nice to be able to cancel, because that's targeting your weakness, you know, which is your low health. Yeah, Ancient Evils is great. And isn't there this really nasty treachery in the third scenario that I'm not going to mention because I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't experienced it yet? Like a really nasty treachery.
Mm-hmm. There is, and that is definitely worth canceling with this card.
Yeah. Locked Door, if your group isn't in a good position to be able to deal with it, that's a nice one too.
Yeah, I think if you're playing Agnes, False Lead is a good target, simply because she doesn't have a ton of ways to discover clues until you get Rite of Seeking, and being forced to drop all those clues back onto the table and have to rediscover them again is... That's pretty rough. That's going to set you back.
Set you back so much, yeah.
A lot of turns.
And I think that's the key thing about Ward of Protection, is that if you draw a treachery that's going to set you back a couple of actions or more, you just say no. You know, I'm just going to keep going. I am not going to take that delay. And you know, as we've been saying, Arkham is kind of a race, and this thing is basically lets you jump over a hurdle.
This one gets an Elder Sign from me without too much trouble.
Yeah, without question.
Yeah, play this.
The next card we're going to take a look at is Blinding Light. It's a 2-cost event with a willpower and agility skill icon. Spell trait, evade. This evasion attempt uses willpower instead of agility. If you succeed, deal 1 damage to the enemy just evaded. If a skull, cultist, tablet, elder thing, or autofail symbol is revealed during this evasion attempt, you lose 1 action this turn. Thoughts on Blinding Light?
This card's not very good.
I understand why it's in the core set.
Yeah.
This is a target for Arcane Initiate in those sticky situations where you get an enemy stuck on you. Like, say you use Drawn to the Flame and you draw an enemy and you haven't used Arcane Initiate. You save it, maybe you find Blinding Light, and then evade the enemy and go about your business. Those situations can come up, and it can be useful in those situations. But I think apart from that, this card gets sort of pushed to the wayside just by having better options.
Yeah, thinking about this card in detail, like, what I don't like about it is how expensive it is and the potential downside for the effect. Okay, so what you're doing is you're spending 2 to be able to evade using your willpower instead of your athletics. That's what you're really trying to do here. So if you're Agnes, you might just want to boost your, just evade normally and boost your athletics. If you're Daisy, you probably want to be playing Mind Over Matter 10 times out of 10 for doing the same thing without having to worry about losing your action and spending 2 resources. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this card just gets, for what it does, like both characters that can play this in the core set have better options that are just better at doing the same thing.
You've talked at length, Matastrophic, about playing Agility Agnes, and really, I think you're just better at playing Manual Dexterity and relying on her on her native agility and manual dexterity to pass those evade tests if necessary. And like you said, Daisy has better options in Mind Over Matter, or even if she's just got the resources. I mean, you can apply a bunch of resources into Hyper Awareness if necessary.
Yep.
Often, I think the biggest problem with this card is that besides the downside, which is awful, losing 1 action is potentially quite bad. It's bad enough to lose an action in a game that is a race, but to lose an action at the wrong time and suddenly you've got you fail, say you pull one of the special tokens against an enemy, you fail the evasion, and now that enemy, you might have done that on your second action, now you've lost that action that you could have used to do something else, and now that enemy is attacking you. And if you're playing Daisy, well, you don't really want to be attacked because you don't have the health to survive it. And if you're playing Agnes, you don't really want to be attacked either. And so the downside is bad. And then dealing one damage against an enemy that you're probably just trying to get away from to begin with isn't really that helpful. It's not going to be enough against a lot of enemies, and you might soften up an enemy a little bit, but if you're evading it, you're probably not going to shrivel it. So it just doesn't really do enough, and the penalty for failure is just so high that I really struggle with this one. And then once your card pool expands, Mystics receive so many better options to evade enemies that this thing just won't see the light of day.
I will say though that Blinding Light is useful against boss enemies or enemies with large health. Say you shrivel something twice and you can't shrivel it again, or it's going to somehow survive the third shriveling attempt, and you just need like one extra point of damage or an extra turn to be able to deal with that enemy. Blinding Light can be useful in those situations because it does allow you to evade elite enemies, which is a pretty important distinction. But yeah, I mean, there are so many better options once you expand your card pool that Blinding Light will be sadly in your binder or in your box probably for the rest of your time
Yeah.
playing this game.
How would you rate this one?
In the core set, I gotta give this an Elder Thing. When I first played Arkham, I actually did use this card in that exact situation where my group and I were fighting the Ghoul Priest, and nobody just had a way to evade the enemy easily. And I was playing Agnes. I happened to have this card, and it worked in that one specific situation. So I see why it's here, but it's not good.
I'd actually give it a tentacle. If it cost one, it would probably be an Elder Thing. It's the fact that it costs two. And as I was saying in my description there, I feel like both Agnes and Daisy have options that are just better at doing what this does.
I'm on the fence between an Elder Thing and an auto fail. I think I'll give it an Elder Thing within the revised core set, and then this just plummets to an auto fail outside it. You'll never play this card once you buy a few more cards and you get access to things like Mists of Rillier or Ethereal Form, or yeah, it's just I find that it doesn't do enough, and the penalty is pretty severe. It does. I have played this card in the within the revised core set format though, and it can help. It is damage, which Agnes doesn't have a ton of, besides shriveling, and those shriveling charges are awfully precious. So the ability to ping something for one damage can help a little bit, and so that's why I'm reluctant to give it an auto fail, because it does do a little bit. It can do a little bit of damage and take some of the pressure off those precious shriveling charges, especially if you're running low. But yeah, this is pretty narrow, and once you gain some more cards, then you're probably not going to play this one anymore. There is a level 2 upgrade that we will look at a little bit later that does slightly more damage. The final card that we're going to look at is the Mystic skill in the box. This is Fearless. It has one willpower skill icon and the innate trait. If this skill test is successful, heal one horror. I think this one is pretty important in Agnes, especially if you are triggering her ability often.
Yeah, like you said, this card is quite useful in Agnes. Being able to heal horror means that you can trigger her response another time, which is great. The fact that it has a willpower skill icon is also nice because that's the one stat you're going to use the most. Well, it would be nice if it had two. I'm not going to complain this time because Agnes has five willpower, so boosting it up to a six with this card is generally going to be enough most of the time for you to trigger that successful healing one more. So good
One
card.
thing to also note is that you can apply that, you can boost other people's skill tests with this, like Roland and Rotting Remains, and then you still heal the horror if Roland succeeds on his Rotting Remains test. So that is kind of nice. I wouldn't run this over Guts because I think passing the test is more important than healing the horror. I probably wouldn't run this in Daisy either because she's got 9 sanity and she doesn't have like a sink to like dump her sanity. But I think in Agnes, this definitely has its uses if you have space for it.
I think this is a good example of how healing horror can be done right, because it's so much more efficient to piggyback the healing on something that you were going to do anyway. So whether you're taking a willpower test during the mythos phase, or perhaps you're shriveling an enemy during the investigation phase, you're getting that healing without having to take an additional action to do it, which makes it a lot more efficient than a card like First Aid, where you have to take an action to not only play the First Aid, but then an action to trigger the First Aid. Piggybacking that healing on something else is always good. It's obviously good for Agnes because she's going to be taking a lot of horror if she's using her ability, so healing that horror is good. There is a level 2 upgrade available for Fearless in the Where Doom Awaits Mythos pack, which I believe lets you heal 2 horror if you succeed by 2 or more, which if you're playing Agnes is not going to be that hard a lot of the time, especially if you need, she's already at a 5. If I believe it has 2 willpower skill icons, that boosts her to a 7. And if you get to, even if you just dump 1 more skill icon into it, that's going to be good enough in most cases if you're on playing on standard difficulty. How would you rate this one?
I think, like Manastrophic said, it's not really that important of a card in your deck. It's pretty decent in Agnes. You know, like we've been saying, Healing Horror is obviously very good in her. But apart from that, it really doesn't provide that much, especially over a card like Guts. So I think I would give it a 0 in the core set. It's fine. It's going to be pretty serviceable for you, but it's not going to be like a critical card that you need to have in your deck.
Yeah, I'd agree. It feels like a 0. If you have space for it, it's nice in Agnes. If you don't have space for it because you've hit 30 when designing your deck, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was wavering between a 0 and a plus 1, largely because of the healing horror in Agnes, but I think I've got to settle on a 0. I haven't used this card very much just because Mystics tend to have a lot of sanity, and healing 1 horror just isn't all that impactful a lot of the time. It can come in handy if you get a bad string of luck where you take a little bit more horror than you expected, or you get a few bad pulls with shriveling and you end up taking a little bit more horror that you couldn't soak. Sometimes this can come in and be like, okay, well, I'll give you a little bit of horror or a little bit more sanity, so you have a little bit more padding between that shriveling killing you and not. But yeah, it just doesn't come up all that often, and I don't think I've played this outside of Agnes, to be honest. So yeah, I think it's probably ends up being closer to a 0 for me. That's going to do it for part 2 of our look at the Mystic cards in the revised core set. Some awfully good cards in this batch. Arcane Initiate, Elder Sign outside of the revised core, still very good within it. Drawn to the Flame, Ward of Protection, all really iconic cards in the Mystic class that you're going to be playing well into the future as your card pool expands. Blinding Light, not so much. And Fearless, probably okay in Agnes, but you're not going to play it all that often outside of her. Any final thoughts?
I will say that I hope you get used to seeing Drawn to the Flame and Ward of Protection, because you're going to see them a lot if you play this game.
Yeah, you're going to... Yeah, you might as well just take like the front page of your binder and put your put cards like those in front, because every Mystic deck you're gonna want to consider those pretty early.
Yeah, I think if you're building a Mystic deck, 2 Arcane Initiate, 2 Drawn to the Flame, and 2 Ward of Protection, and then you can start cutting. But usually when I build a deck, I put those 6 cards in, and yeah, then start looking for things to cut.
Shriveling and Holy Rosary. There's 10. Okay, you're good to go. Now you can start deck building.
That's right. Yeah. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.